This week I'm going to replay an interview I did with Jeff Olson, who is a former football coach in Upper Michigan, and his son was the star player back in 2010. And his son made it all the way, their team made it all the way to the state championship. He was the best, one of the best players on the team, likable kid, seemed to have his pretty well grounded. And he was the quarterback, and they lost by 2 points, and he kind of blamed himself. What the family didn't quite realize is that for a number of years he struggled with suicidal thoughts. And why is that? You know, I mean, there's many different reasons. I have my own speculation onto why that is. But they eventually found out and tried to do everything they could to save his life. In the end, he took his life, which is, you know, sad for a kid that was just out of high school, that had, you know, a lot of things probably going his way. And then so 2 weeks before the start of the football season in 2012, you know, Jeff's family was devastated by this, and Jeff just couldn't decide whether he should coach or not. And he made the choice to coach, and then they dedicated the season to Daniel and another player. And they went on, believe it or not, to win the state championship. What a story. Because they beat a team that was much bigger than them. And I think it captured everybody's heart, because you had a group of kids that were basically just small-town kids going up against, and of course the tragedy, they just all came together, and they were going up against these group of kids that, you know, there are some schools that are like private schools that will recruit other kids, and they have the best in the state, and there's no way you're supposed to beat them. There's just no way. And every once in a while, miracles will happen. And this is all part of a miracle. What's amazing about this interview that you're about to hear is that Jeff Olson, the former coach and the father of Daniel, said, he told me at some point in this interview that he really felt all of this happened so that he would have a platform. He felt the reason they won the state championship was so that he would be able to talk about this. And as of right now, he's gone to more than 75 schools to speak about this. And he feels that his son is around him. And for some people, that's difficult to believe, because we've been told, or some of you have been told, that suicide people do not go to a good place when they pass away. And I think, you know, I go back to what I believe in my heart. The only thing that's out there waiting for us is love. And we're the only ones keeping ourselves from it. So when we leave, that's where we go. And maybe we don't understand why people do what they do, but I really believe it's part of the journey. Even in, like in Daniel's case, this was something he signed up for. There's a good chance, I believe, he signed up for this. As hard as that might be to swallow, people would say, why? Why would anybody do that? Look at all the other people throughout our history that have given their lives to try to wake us up, or had debilitating diseases, or maybe were assassinated, and then we remembered them. And this is why those things happen. So I look at life as one of two things. We either plan out things before we come here, and that's part of our destiny, or while we're here, we change things. We add to that plan with our thoughts and feelings. And even while we're planning while we're here. And we can make that part of our destiny. We go, now this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do now. So, and it becomes part of what we chose. And we're always here, you know, to serve. And so when people truly get that, sometimes they will do something completely very unselfish as an opportunity for the rest of us to wake up. I don't know why Daniel did what he did, and I'm not going to speculate, but I will say this much. There's a number of people right now that are very confused, and we have more what appears to be mental illness than ever before. In my research with the people I've had on my show, a lot of it has to do with the food we're eating, and we're not getting the right omega-3s in our diet. That's part of it. Okay, I don't have all the answers, and I'm not going to say that I do. But secondly, I think it could be many other factors. Dark energy is doing everything they can to maintain what they've had for a long time. So I always feel like they're involved somewhat. And We're coming into a time of great awareness. We already are there, and many are choosing to leave this planet and give us a good message. So they will show up for a while and then leave. So we have a lot of very unselfish beings, beings that are higher evolved, that make those choices. None of this I can say may or may not apply to Daniel. That's just what I believe in my heart, that everything happens for a reason. And everybody says that, but rarely can they trace it and say why. Well, I know it happens for a reason, but I don't really know why. And I believe I know why. It's there to wake us up. And that's, from my perspective, that's what Daniel was doing. And I believe, you know, there are things we had a conversation after we got off the air, Jeff and I, and there's things I can't repeat. Maybe he'll come on and talk about that, but let's just put it this way. Daniel has gone on, and Jeff knows it. He absolutely knows it. And Daniel is actually doing fine. And I'm going to leave it at that. So we have an interview I did on the radio about suicide, about the story with Jeff, his family, and their son. And then at the end of this, I'm going to play a clip from the website, which you can go to if you want to support it, or at least listen to this, watch this video. I just have the audio attached, but there'll be a link that'll lead it. It's very powerful. I'm thinking, wow, he really can move people. And I'm sure that's what he was intended to do. So here we go. There's an event that's going on coming up Saturday, April 6th. Bay College ADN RN students have an event Saturday from 11 to 2 at the Bessie Theater. And it's going to be You're Not Alone, a conversation to prevent suicide. I guess a lot of the RN students are doing community projects, and that's part of what they have to do. And I think it's awesome that they're approaching this. So I don't know if you know the story of Jeff Olson, the former Ishpeming football coach, and his son committed suicide. So Jeff's going to join me this morning. Are you there, Jeff? Can you hear me?
Yep, I am. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Now, you retired as the football coach. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was when you just said on air that the former head football coach. That's the first time I've heard that. So it's a different sound. I retired from all coaching about 3 weeks ago.
So Daniel was your son who took his life. When did that happen?
The summer of 2012, on July 19th.
Wow, it's been that long. And I know your story because I followed your team and I heard about the story, and I think everybody probably did a little bit. So now you're in the spotlight. Your team had gone down and lost the state championship as Daniel was the quarterback the year before?
Yep, and that was 2010, 2 years before that.
2 years before. And then so you dedicated the season to Daniel and you went on to win a state championship. But what's really amazing about this is that, first of all, as being the parent of somebody that committed suicide, you can't really see these things happening, can you?
Well, you don't expect it, that's for sure. And, you know, Daniel struggled for 8 years before he ended up taking his life, and struggled for 5 years on his own in silence, which so many people do because of the stigma of mental illness, that people will think you're crazy or you're weak or maybe faking something. So, you know, he fought that for 5 years on his own. You know, and we also found out that early recognition and treatment for this is very key. And obviously he didn't do that like so many other people. But when he did actually come forward, he fought it for 3 years. You know, we got him as much help as we could. You know, we feel we did everything. His illness was so volatile at that time that a lot of things didn't work. But the message and the good news about mental illness, whether it's anxiety and depression like my son suffered from or any others, that they're very, very treatable. And, you know, Daniel happened to just fall into a small percentage that a lot of things didn't work. So, you know, are also one of our messages, what if when he really felt it, or if we really noticed the warning signs 8 years before that, if we would have got him help then, and people understood that this is so common, it's treatable, that people talked about it like the common flu because it is a medical illness. What if we would have got him treated then? Maybe he wouldn't have fallen into that small percentage, and maybe other people don't have to fall in that small percentage also.
So it's really about bringing awareness, and you don't know it until you actually go through it. And then you have these people that helped you do a documentary, which you're going to show at this event coming up on Saturday. It's called Do It for Daniel. How did that come together?
Well, after Daniel passed away, obviously, we had 2 weeks before the football season started. We did that. We ended up winning the state championship. And a couple who have never done anything like this before, both work in the TV business. The man, Mike and Cammy Behrens, Mike was actually doing on the video, on the camera during our state championship game and was captivated by the story. Their daughter was 15. Suffered from a mental illness, and they didn't know much about it. So they really he couldn't let this go, and they wanted to do something. They had this idea of making a documentary of our story. They contacted us. It was pretty soon after Daniel passed away. So it took us 4 months to respond back. But then we did meet them. We found out that we realized then that this could be something that we could use, a tool that we could use to educate people. So we went ahead and did it. They did a phenomenal job making this documentary. And, so I decided, people started contacting me then. They heard about it, and they started contacting me about bringing it to their school. And one of the things is I haven't advertised this at all. And I've been to over 75 schools now. I've done over 100 presentations, community presentations, different states. It's all been word of mouth. Somebody sees it and they tell others and they tell others. So it's kind of snowballed pretty quickly. And, the response has been pretty amazing and helps keep me going and continue to do this.
So this is therapy for you in a way.
Absolutely. There's no question.
Do you ever, now I talked to you off there a little bit, do you ever feel, that your son Daniel is around? Do you think his presence is around for all of this going on?
I truly believe that, and that's actually in the documentary. The kids felt that. We talked about how we felt, his presence was around, that maybe this had to happen to help other people.
Yeah.
And maybe the state championship had to happen to give me a platform to be able to do this. And nobody really knows that, but it's what I feel. I really feel that he's around. And as do a lot of people who've lost loved ones. So, by doing this, it really keeps his name out there, his face out there. And, that alone is therapy for me.
Well, and everything seems to serve a greater purpose for all of us. If we just step back and look at it, sometimes you see how things line up, like you won the state championship. That's exactly what I was thinking. And then this documentary. And so, we see things are tragic, but, I believe there's always an underlying, there's more to it, it seems like. So if you want to catch this amazing story and this documentary, which I think will just, it'll be an incredible thing to see, and maybe a great awakening for all of us. It's going to be Saturday from 11 to 2 at the Bessie College, the Bessie Theater at Bay College. Jeff, your presentation, I think, is, what is that time? Is that noon? Does it start?
I think it's at noon, yes.
So if you want to get down there for that, do it for Daniel. Anything else you want to tell me this morning?
Well, the big thing about this is we're trying to get people to understand what mental illness is, what anxiety and depression is. We really try, through Daniel's story, try to define it, explain what it is, explain what it feels like to have it. Because if he wouldn't have gone through this, I went through some depression myself. You just don't understand, and people don't understand. So this is all about creating understanding and then hope.
I appreciate you talking to me, Jeff. If you don't mind hanging on the line, maybe we'll talk a little more, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Jeff Olson. Again, he's going to be at Bay College Saturday, this Saturday, 11 to 2. That's put on by the Bay College ADN-RN students.
He's the best player that I've ever seen.
This kid is unreal. He was definitely the best player on the best team to ever come through Ishpeming High School.
Daniel was like a human highlight reel. He was a superior athlete on the field.
It was exciting to watch him because you never knew what he was going to do next.
I love watching him play defense just because he'd come up and belt somebody.
Danny Olsen, a great dual threat quarterback, can run and pass. He's really the leader. He's a coach's son. He's like having a coach on the field.
Daniel was coach's dream. You're coaching a coach's dream, but he's your son. If we did lose a game, there's a lot of times he would blame himself. And the biggest one was our state championship game. He would wake up in night sweats, almost like a nightmare, blaming himself.
As a parent, it's hard to figure out how serious is this.
By the time Ishpeming lost the state championship in 2010, Daniel had already suffered silently from anxiety and depression for years. He was just able to hide it behind his smile, laughter, and a football helmet.
In sixth grade, that was the first time we really noticed that anxiety and that negative thoughts were really prevalent.
I don't know if we could have called it anxiety until he actually got diagnosed.
We've all felt depression, but the majority of us don't have the disease of depression, which is an entirely different situation.
If you would just see Daniel and you knew Daniel, you'd think he was perfectly happy and everything was great.
It was hard to believe because he was so strong and hit it so well.
The first time he tried to commit suicide, that's when I realized that he had a problem.
The two times he attempted, he would say, "Dad, I just kind of blacked out." The only thing that mattered was getting rid of the pain. And so he'd say that, "Dad, I don't want to die. I just can't handle the pain anymore. What's our strategy going to be? What's our strategy going to be?" We talked to many different counselors, many different doctors. He tried a lot of different things.
People who die by suicide do not want to die. They don't want their lives to end. They want the pain to end. Imagine my house is on fire. I have to get out.
On July 19th, 2012, my brother Daniel couldn't take the pain any longer and completed suicide. Even though he's gone, he is still helping so many people. That's why we are making this movie, to get people talking and try to stop the stigmas that surround mental illnesses. My family wants everyone to know there is always hope. Hope to not be afraid or ashamed to get help. Daniel's death happened 2 weeks before the 2012 football season was set to start. My dad had to decide if he was going to coach, or even if he could ever coach again.
These kids work so hard. I have a commitment to them. So I pretty much knew I was going to coach. I didn't know how good I was going to be at it.
We decided that we're going to dedicate the season to Daniel, and so began the slogan, "Do it for Daniel."
The whole time we were planning on going to Ford Field, like even before we even played a game. Detroit Loyola, they were big. We were obviously the underdog. People were telling us that we were going to lose by 40.
Those guys didn't care how big the other guys were. They didn't care that nobody else outside Ishpeming, outside that city, outside maybe that peninsula, thought they could win. Instead of judging kids based on their height and their weight and where they're from, what you can't measure is the heart. Don't have all these preconceived notions, whether it be in sports or in life.
For Daniel, on three. One, two, three.
For Daniel.